Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello. And welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Now, right at the beginning, I want to talk about the end. No, not the end of this programme, but the end of everything. The end. The end of the world. The end of history. The end of time. The end of planet Earth. The end of the universe. The end of everything. Including the end of us, you and me, and everyone. My, you are in a cheery mood today, Mr. Noble. Don't misunderstand me, I'm not depressed. Well, it sure sounds like it. No, I'm quite happy. But don't you ever think about things like this? Aren't you curious about the end? About how everything will work out in the end? About how the book of life ends? What happens in the end of the film of our lives and at the climax of world history? I met a very interesting 5-year-old girl. As school chaplain, I was invited to come to primary one and sit with the children. The idea was to let them speak to me and say anything they wanted to me about any subject. And they chipped away about this and that, and then one little girl spoke very directly and succinctly to me. And the conversation went exactly as follows. My cat died last night. Oh, I am sorry to hear that. Do all cats die? I looked at the teacher and she nodded approval for me to go on with it. I'm afraid so. A brief pause and then, do people die? Yes. Will I die? Yes, again, I'm afraid. You could see the brain chewing. I thought, well done, dear. At just 5 years old, you faced up to the challenge of our mortality. Many adults have not got their heads around that fact of life yet. She stopped at that point. Well, it was enough shocks to the system for one day. But it is healthy for us to face up to our mortality and come to terms with it. And it's not all gloom and doom either. It can be life-enriching to realise that we do not have forever. So get up and do it now, while we have the time. It makes us appreciate what we've got while we have it. And when we consider our end, it does have a double meaning. It can mean our time limit, shelf life, finite existence, but it can also mean our goal, target, ambition, our end purpose and meaning in life. Awareness of the former limit, our limited shelf life, can help us to focus on our latter targets, what we're going to do to make the most of our one short, precious shot at life. That's surely a cue for a song, this song by John Denver.
All this joy, all this sorrow, all this promise, all this pain, such is life, such is being, such is spirit. Such is love. city of sorrow, city of promise, city of pain. Such is life. Such is being. Such is spirit. Such is love. World of joy. World of sorrow.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, as we contemplate the end of everything, both the termination end and the end purpose of all life, including our own. No small subject for 30 minutes, eh? There are two big fancy words for the study of the end of things. One is eschatology, the doctrine of the last things, the end of the world, the end of time and history, and the beginning of eternity. If that's not a contradiction. Well, eternity does not begin, does it? Nor end. But anyway, eschatology is derived from the Greek words eschatos, meaning last things, and logos, meaning study of. The other big word is teleology, from telos and logos, the study of ends, goals, climaxes, targets. These are two great Scrabble-winning words, are they not? But never mind the impressive words, think about the very important things they deal with. Life leaves us with many questions, as Mary McKee and the Genesis sing here.
Unanswered questions at times have questioned my faith. Pieces to puzzles I never could fit into place. But a voice deep within says, child, trust me and be of good cheer. Heaven waits to explain it and make it all clear. Heaven holds all the answers that we'll never. all the reasons for all of our trials, our burdens and cares. In the presence of Jesus we'll know and understand well. Heaven holds all the secrets that time will never tell. Doors that won't open, storms and painful goodbyes fill my mind with confusion, my mouth with the words, dear Lord, why? But he whispers, my child, hold my hand and keep following me. Someday heaven will focus the picture that now you can't see. Jesus will know and understand well. Heaven holds all the secrets that time will never tell. Heaven holds all the secrets that time will never tell.
It's really very important to realise that everything in the world, including ourselves, is finite, mortal, limited. Everything has a shelf life, a sell-by date, best before and perishable date. Everything we know is subject to atrophy, entropy, degradation or withering, perishing, eroding, rusting, disintegrating, dying, wasting. Take the planets and everything in space, for example. The Big Bang explodes outwards for millions of years, but at some point it reaches its climax, zenith, nadir, and begins to implode, falling in on itself. It may take a very long time, but that is the trajectory. That is the eschatological and teleological end. I hope all this is not coming as too much of a shock to you. Life has surely given you plenty hints in this direction. And the Bible and Christian preaching has a lot to say about the end of life. Just consider life for a moment. Can you not see that the surprising thing is that it continues, not that it will end? At any moment, we could list a whole host of plausible reasons why the world might end today, in 5 minutes' time, any time. For instance, conventional war or civil war, could be epidemics, natural disasters, earthquakes, volcanoes, floods, droughts, tsunamis, hurricanes, or global warming could do us, and climate change, or pollution. There are accidents like Chernobyl, oil tankers, mistakes with nuclear waste. Something could interrupt the food chain, or aliens invade us from outer space. Human beings can destroy the world anytime with lots of angles. There's crime, corruption, pride, greed, laziness, carelessness. We might get hit by an asteroid or a meteor. What about chemical weapons, an economic crash, failure to trade? Population growth might do us, or maybe nuclear war. On this latter one, here's Sir Cliff Richard with Under the Gun.
Baby's face, I saw the plight of the human race dying to survive. Shaken by the irony, the anger rose inside of me and would not subside. I thought you're too young to understand, but the fate of every mortal man rests in someone's mortal hand tonight. In a nuclear insanity, there's a death watch on the land and sea. and I believe that we may never live our lives. We were born under the gun, and just like every mother's son, we are hostage to the megaton, and the world could die tonight.
Under the gun,
we live in fear that the end will come, but there's one place to run.
Run to the sun.
Everyone can see that the hour is late, and every soul on earth has got to demonstrate their loving if we're to survive. 'Cause we're tired of living on the brink, scared to death that our ship will sink in the winking of an eye. This course we're on's a big mistake, 'cause we all lose in the nuclear race. It's time to show all the heads of state that we believe,
we believe
that we're fighting for our lives. We were born under the gun, and just like every mother's son, we are hostage to the megaton, and the world could die tonight.
Under the gun,
we live in fear that the end will come, but there's one place to run.
Run to the sun.
The Bible also forewarns us about eschatology and the end of things. In the Old Testament, the Jews looked forward to the day of the Lord, when God would put his foot down and sort out the world, giving bad folk their comeuppance and rewarding good folk for their faithfulness. God would redress all the imbalances and sort out the good from the bad. God's people would prosper at last, the wicked would perish, the present age would cease, and the new golden age would be ushered in. Jews still live waiting for the long-expected day of the Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus lived, died, rose again, then went back to heaven. Before he went, he promised to return one day. It will be his second coming, the parousia, and it will be the day of the Lord Jesus. People will be divided like a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. The believers in Jesus will go to heaven and the disbelievers will go to hell. It will be time up like the attendant at the boating pond calling out, "Come in, number 99, your time is up." We can understand that in terms of one person's life. We attend enough funerals to get the hint that we will all die sooner or later. But imagine a day when the whole universe ends at one moment. The Bible says that although there will be many signs of the times and warnings that it's about to happen, like rumblings before a volcano blows, it will still happen suddenly and take everyone by surprise, just like death always comes as a shock, even if they've been in the hospice for 3 months. The Bible uses the illustration of a thief coming by stealth in the night. Here's Sir Cliff Richard again. If the end of the world, and indeed our own personal end, will come suddenly, The obvious moral to the tale is to prepare well in advance for it. Long ago, there was a rich, powerful lord of the manor who kept a fool or a court jester. One day, the lord gave his fool, called Jimmy Fleming, his staff, saying, "Jimmy, I want to present you with this stick because you are such a fool. I want you to keep it until if and when you ever meet a bigger fool than yourself. And if you do, you can present it to them." Well, a few years later, the lord fell seriously ill. Jimmy came to visit him. "How are you doing, master?" "Oh, Jimmy, I'm not doing very well at all. How can I put it? I'm going on a long journey." "Where are you going, sir?" "I don't know." "And when will you come back? In a month?" "No." "A year?" "No, Jimmy, I'm never coming back." "So what preparation have you made for where you're going?" "None at all, I'm afraid." "You're going away forever, you know not where, and you've made no preparation for it?" "Here, master, take my staff, for I've met a bigger fool than myself after all."
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died and the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Oh, a man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. But there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Mind you, it's perhaps possible to be over-ready for the end. When my dad was a wee boy at the start of the Second World War, a strange thing happened to him. He remembers his mum, my granny, rushing into the house in a panic. She was in so much of a state and in such a hurry, she didn't bother to explain. She just grabbed him and dragged him out of the house. He found himself standing outside the front door, holding his mum's hand and looking up at the night sky. There was a bright beam of light, which he'd never seen before. And they stood silent for what seemed an eternity, until he asked, "What is it, Mum?" She said, "It's the end of the world." They just stood transfixed, gazing up at the mysterious bright light in the dark sky, and he thought to himself that the end of the world was taking a very long time. It turned out that it was the first searchlight at the nearby aerodrome. And my home village of Inverallachie in Aberdeenshire was very much a strict Christian place, and still is to some extent. And just after the war, a couple of folk in the village were lying in bed having a long lie on a Saturday morning when they suddenly heard the sound of a trumpet outside. They got such a shock, they just looked at each other, speechless, and without a word, they jumped out of bed. They'd no time to put on clothes, so still in their pyjamas, they rushed down the stairs and ran outside to meet Jesus, who would then take them to heaven, because this was the end of the world. Because the Bible says, "The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we who are living at that time will be gathered up along with them to meet the Lord in the air." However, when they got outside, they discovered it was not Jesus' second coming. It was just a rag and bone man collecting throwaways to sell. What an anticlimax. But notice that they were so primed to expect the second coming of Jesus. Having said that, I expect that most people will be underprepared rather than overprimed for it. Don't you? So, are you ready? The Bible says that both death and the end of the world are not only the end of this life, but more importantly, they're the beginning of an eternal life. So it's good news rather than bad news. I personally am looking forward to heaven. I'm more excited about going to live there than I am about any holiday here on earth or any change of address. I look forward to a place where we can see Jesus face to face and be with dear departed loved ones, and meet Abraham and Moses, Elijah, Daniel, Peter, James and John, Mary Magdalene, Christians from every century. The place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes and crying and pain and death will be no more. And finding out all the answers to all of life's mysteries and spending quality time, quality eternity, I should say, with God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Being personally whole, healthy, happy, enjoying fellowship, human and divine, with the angels. That's more than enough to whet the appetite, is it not? Exciting, isn't it? And no matter how long we live, it will not be long before we metamorphose from being the earthbound caterpillar into the heavenly butterfly. And won't it be exciting to be part of the generation who are living when Jesus makes his parousia, second coming? To quote Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, "What we are teaching you now is the Lord's teaching. We who are alive on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. There will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, the sound of God's trumpet, and the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Then we who are living at that time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." So then encourage one another with these words.
nature has harmed, and the dead shall be raised. Be raised incorruptible. Be raised incorruptible. And we shall be
surely it is fitting that a programme about eschatology, the end of all things, should go out with a big finish. So I leave you with Alvin Slaughter. Bye for now.